another side of midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios of 77 WABC. Here's T.J. McCormick.
And now, joining us here on Another Side of Midnight with T.J. McCormick on 77 WABC, we have, really for the first time ever, somebody that, for everybody listening, doesn't need an introduction. I'm very, very happy to welcome Charlie Sheen to the show. Good morning, Charlie. Welcome.
Good morning, T.J. Thank you. Thank you. That's a lovely intro, even though it wasn't supposed to be intro'd.
Yes, true. Yes. All right. Yeah, he doesn't need one. He doesn't need one, but I'm going to give one because, you know, perfunctory stuff, you know.
I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, listen, man, congratulations on everything going on in your life now. You've got a hit on Netflix, which is reaching a fantastic audience, and which we'll talk about. And you've also got this great new memoir called The Book of Sheen. Congratulations on all of this, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, who would have thought that I checked two boxes for two projects that I've never done before, rolling the dice and that they happened at the same time and weren't planned as such.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that. How did it come to be then?
I wasn't like, all right, this is the 1-2 punch that's going to, you know, set the record straight and get everybody's attention. No, it wasn't anything like that. I've been thinking about the book for a long time, but didn't have enough perspective, didn't have enough distance between, you know, all the stuff and the now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just knew, I knew that I would know when the time was right to say yes and sit down and start it. And then this gentleman named Andrew Renzi comes into my life, and I watched a couple of the documentaries that he did. Mm-hmm. And there was one called Pepsi, Where's My Jet, which I thought was brilliant, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the storytelling. And then I was like, well, he's never really done a celebrity doc. And I hate the word celebrity,
right?
Even though I think celebrate is kind of the root word of it, right?
Which sure.
is fine.
Sure.
He'd never done a doc about a well-known actor. How about that?
Okay.
But he did this episode of Untold about Jake Paul that I watched. And I was like, oh, damn. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
This guy knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
Like on every front, you know?
Yeah.
And so when we sat down, it just happened to be right around the time that I was planning on starting the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, they actually kind of fed each other, because the research that Renzi and I did for a year leading up to actually sitting down for those interviews,
mm-hmm.
was research that was lending itself to the book as well.
Right. And the book, by the way, again, the book is called The Book of Sheen, a memoir. It reads, your style strikes me a lot like Hunter S. Thompson.
That's amazing. Wow.
It was. There's a really cool beat to how you write. You write like you
Thank
talk.
You.
You talk like you write. You get the
Thank
sense
you.
That some that a lot of this stuff was hitting you organically in the moment, and it was making its way from your brain to the page in that order in very short time. And it doesn't feel like a ton of editing either. It feels like it just really flowed, and you just were just sitting there telling the truth in a really fun way.
That's amazing. Thank you. I'm literally going to call my mom today.
Yeah.
And tell her that you said that.
Yeah.
About Hunter Thompson.
Oh, totally, man. Oh, totally. Seriously, yeah. No,
that's
no.
That's like, that is, wow. That is like a giant high five. Thank you.
No, of course.
Well, that's the reason, that I knew I had to write it myself.
Yes.
You know, they had talked about a ghostwriter. I'm like, but then I'm just a storyteller again,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what separates the book from the doc is, you know, there's a lot of pressure to perform when you're on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, be yourself and all that. But you still have to be engaging, entertaining, concise, mm-hmm. Detailed, right?
Yeah.
But to tell that story or a similar version of it, and you have 2 weeks just by yourself at like 3 a.m. Oh, when all the voices are,
yes,
are screaming.
Yes. I know those voices. You know? I know those voices.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all me.
Yeah.
They're just different accents of me. Mm-hmm. So it isn't one of those deals. But no, I love that you've highlighted that. That the book is a fun read. It's
yes.
a fun read. And people aren't
yeah.
reading these days.
Nope.
You know?
No, man.
I don't read.
But I got it. I got the book, and I found myself like tackling it and in the middle of it consciously going, oh my God, I'm reading.
That's awesome. That is awesome. How about that? We're turning back the clock, man. We're bringing something back, you know?
Well, you know, I think what people are digging about, I mean, look, the kind of career you have when you're a film star and then you've got the 2.5 Men and this and that, and you know, that's people's living rooms. That's not just like a Q factor. It's people love you. Like people dig you and they love having you in their living room. And I think when you're going through your trials and your tribulations, I think you have more people rooting for you than the usual celeb. I think a lot of celebs, celebrated actors, I think a lot of people find themselves up against it. People feeling, well, good, knock them down a peg. But I think in your case, cause I was living in LA when you were hitting some of these low points, I guess you could say. Some of these struggles, these headwinds. I was living in Los Angeles and I was swimming in some of those circles. I was a stand up and an actor myself. And I knew some people that were in your universe, and you know, it was really interesting how many people were rooting for you. And so when this book comes out and it's an honest to God, really cool, fun account of the early days, the beginnings of somebody who would eventually come to endear themselves and find their way into, like, you know, tens of millions of Americans' living rooms every week. I think it's the kind of thing that's just going to just propel this book and clearly already the Netflix show, you know, into the next level.
That's amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, you start off, though. I think this is what grabs me. You start off opening, you pull back the curtain, curtain opens, and you're already almost dead. So give me a little idea. Tell people about why you made that choice and about your early near death birth experience.
Because I was walking around with that line in my head for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
I don't have it perfectly memorized, but on September 3rd, 1965, in New York City at 10:58 p.m., I was born dead. And I thought, okay, now if you think about the two quotes that mm-hmm. the book, you know, it's Hemingway and Cheech and Chong, right?
Yep.
So I thought, all right, what supports that? All right, born dead. It's a complete oxymoron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then... You know, I had these stuttering problems as a child and into adulthood, and still kind of lurks, you know, still there a little bit. And so I wanted to explore that the umbilical strangulation could have been connected to that.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I've had a middle name my whole life that people have made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to always, you know, try to take some false pride, and it's the Irwin with an I, right? Like that matters.
Uh-huh.
It's still that name.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of saw opportunity, in that first chapter to talk about that stuff. And also set the tone a little bit I wanted people to feel like they were being, or the audience or the readers, like they were going into something that could be described in complete sorrow or darkness or you know, all of that, but there's humor, and they're like suddenly laughing where they're not sure if they're supposed to be,
right?
And so I think it kind of sets the tone early on for what to expect, you know. There's no false advertising right off the bat. And even the title, the title was kind of tongue-in-cheek,
mm-hmm.
that I just came up with like a few days before I had my first meeting with the publisher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, what do you think? And they said, okay, so we like this title. Do you have anything else? I said, I don't right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, okay, then let's just keep it until something shows up that beats it.
Yeah.
And nothing did.
Nothing beat it.
Nothing did.
It works, man. It totally works. It's fun. It's like you said, it's tongue in cheek. It's
right.
It's bravado ish from a guy that's obviously turned a really humble corner in life and is appreciating everything that you have. I think you look at. I get the sense that you look at life as a blessing, as a gift, and you know, you speak and write beautifully about your dad
you.
And your mom and your and you're this brood and of a family that you grew up in. And, you know, so really, again, it reads beautifully. Everybody, as if you don't recognize the voice, we're talking to Charlie Sheen here on Another Side of Midnight. And the name of the book that we're celebrating right now is called The Book of Sheen. And on October 19th, everybody, just up 95 in New Haven, Charlie will be there in a conversation setting there at the Schubert Theater on October 19th, 8 p.m. Go and find tickets for that evening's conversation with Charlie Sheen again at the Schubert Theater on October 19th. Charlie, when I think about your public life, you've been public for, you know, forever, ever since you showed up next to Jennifer Grey in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is. You were hysterical in that like 3 minute moment. That was freaking funny, man. Ever since then, you've been a regular, you've been a constant. But in those funky years, it wasn't always on your own terms, right? You know, I mean, so you were kind of thrust into a spotlight, and it wasn't pretty. Look, I'm sober. I went through all my trials and tribulations quietly in a house in Los Angeles, dealing with just my wife and the darkness of alcoholism. I wasn't living out my demons in prime time and on TMZ and other programs. Unfortunately,
sure.
I was starring in that role in my own living room. But anyway, I say that to say. To ask you, does this memoir, in your own words, on your own terms, does this allow you to drive? Did you find this was an opportunity for you to drive your own narrative, to sort of help define yourself now at this point, rather than just let old stories be old stories about you?
Absolutely, absolutely. No, you nailed it 100%. And just let people in a way that that I could really only do on the page.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because the performance aspect of telling stories on camera. You know what I'm saying? Versus like I wanted the reader or the audience to feel like they're just in the room with me,
mm-hmm.
or on the road trip with me,
mm-hmm.
or on the relapse with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right there. That the kind of a sidecar view of some of the madness, but I just wanted to, you know, there's some themes in the book. There's the theme of choices, you know, mm-hmm. so many things come down to the things that we, you mm-hmm. know, the decisions that we make, mm-hmm. and ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I think ownership is so important.
Yep.
If you live in a place of blame, mm-hmm. you're never going to get to the next moment or the next flashpoint or springboard or just, you know, revelatory breakthrough.
Right.
If it stays about the fault of others,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and it's stuff that we've, you know, that we learned in kindergarten,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's about ownership, and it's also about gratitude. I think if you're in a state of gratitude, dude, I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, maybe my life, you know, right now isn't like how I imagined it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Based on what?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Based on what? What sliding scale or what rule book or what manual, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
totally.
You know, kind of living life backwards in a way. In some of the superficial, items. Like, you know, I used to live in giant houses.
Right.
And now I live in a smaller place, you know?
Right.
I used to own 50 cars.
Yeah.
I own one.
Wow. Sorry, man. Sorry to hear
how
that.
How many can I drive at once?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, people get a giant house and then they go out and they spend a ton of money and they put furniture in every room, right?
Right.
And occupy like 20% of those rooms.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just there for when you give people that first tour. And then there's the ante room.
Right.
What is an ante room?
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Here's the waiting chamber. Here's the
exactly.
Right.
Anything with chamber attached to it, you know,
yeah.
good things don't happen in that space.
No, good things don't happen in a chamber. And there's not a lot of gratitude in the life of someone, you know,
who's in a place with chambers.
Yeah. Right. That's medieval.
Yeah.
Dude, that's medieval, right?
Yeah. It is medieval. you can smell that room just talking about it, right?
Yeah, totally.
So anyway, but it's exactly what you said. It goes back to gratitude, and it's this whole thing about need versus want.
Yeah.
Need versus want.
Yeah.
And even just on a very smaller example, I have to some days say, okay, we are on a timeout from Amazon. We are on a 1 week timeout.
Yeah.
I don't care if my shoes are falling apart. My shoes aren't falling apart. They never get to that place, right?
Right.
I mean, I have a blessed life that is abundant, and I don't, you know, I'm so grateful. Because, you know, how many people are as lonely as they've ever been in a mansion? Right. I mean, it's just like, and there's that line in there about that dad was never comfortable in places like that. He preferred, you know, a home.
Yeah.
And then I say something like, you know, the more people rely on their glitz and doubloonery for their identity, the more unidentified they remain.
Yep.
And that's a word I just built. I just said, all right, this is now a word, and I don't care.
I had to look it up. I was like, is this a word?
If you're looking to create, grow, and sustain your wealth, download and subscribe to the Pain Points of Wealth podcast at BeBullish.com with Bob, Ryan, and Chris Payne. It's your podcast for market insights, money tips, and real talk on the economy. Download and subscribe at BeBullish.com.
What I bought? A new Blink Mini 2K Plus smart security camera. What I got? 2K clarity sharp enough to see every detail of home when I'm away. Plus audio like I'm in the room, not with my bestie traveling to another city. Plus easy plug-in setup to install faster than skipping through podcast ads. But you'd never skip ads, right? Plus, I got all of this for just $49.99. Blink Mini 2K Plus. Mini camera, max performance. Shop now at Amazon.com/Blink.
You know the words dominating today's headlines.
Private equity.
Generative capital gains tax.
America's chip fueled by market volatility.
That's on Fed rate cuts.
But do you understand how they impact your world and your wallet? In a world that skims the what, understand the why. Because context changes everything. Subscribe at Bloomberg.com.
If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time? Or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With the all-new Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from good to excellent. Introducing the new Sleep Score on Apple Watch, iPhone 11 or later required.
It was brilliant. Doubloonery, man. I mean, it was because it also elicits images of pirates and booty
pirates,
treasure and
glistening gold,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Or glinting, rather. Glinting gold.
Yeah, man. Oh, no, it was brilliant. Doubloonery. I mean, I actually told a buddy of mine in the car on the way here to the studio to record this. We were talking. I told him I was going to be talking to you. And I said, you ever hear the word doubloonery? And he took a guess, and I was like, yeah, that's what he meant. You mentioned your
dad.
Awesome. You mentioned your dad, and I'm just wondering, I'm curious about the role that your dad, your brothers, your sister, what role your mom, what did they play in the process of writing the book? And I'm also curious about your recovery journey. Tell me about the role that they might have played in some of these recent years in your life.
They've been my biggest supporters, you know. Mm-hmm. They've been the voices of compassion and reason and love. Mm-hmm. when those were the only voices, you know. They've been just as welcoming and non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I'm sure you experienced this in the past before you finally said, all right, this time's for real, right?
Yeah, yep.
Is the doubt from people, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not imagined. It's not like they're basing it on, it's not baseless.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, people get gun shy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, someone that says, all right, everything's great, and then it's not great. And it's like, all right, we're doing this again, and then you didn't do it again. And it's just that revolving door, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they never left my side. They never gave up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mom wrote me something, and I hope she doesn't mind me revealing this. And it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I visited them yesterday because I've been on the road, and they kind of been catching glimpses here and there.
You've been all over the place, yeah.
I have. But my parents don't watch YouTube. I mean, let's face it, right? They're not following my socials. Yeah, I'd be worried. I'd be worried if they were.
Right.
Right. That's a whole nother conversation, right?
Yeah.
So I went there yesterday. It was just a drop in, just to give them a hug and because they're going on a trip. And then we had a lovely visit. And when I got home, there's a text from my mom, and she said, congratulations, you've become your own best friend.
Ooh.
And I was like, that stopped me. That stopped me in my tracks. And I wrote her back immediately, and I said, wow, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your words stunned, I don't know if I said stunned me, but
yeah.
Just your words hit.
But now, what do you think she was? What do you think she was contrasting that to, buddy? Because our moms are like, my mom is listening right now to this show. Okay, my mom will send me notes the day, a text after the show, and she'll tell me what she liked from the night before. And that, and I'm, you know,
that's, and moms
that's always awesome. As long as we have our moms, and you and I are both blessed to have our moms.
As long as
we have them, they're always our moms. They we are still 14. We're still 8. You know.
Them.
And so, what do you think she was contrasting that to when she said to you, "You're your own best friend. Congratulations." What do you think?
I think she said finally.
Finally. Okay. So finally, you're your own best friend. What do you think?
I think it's about always putting others first, taking care of everybody but me.
Mm.
You know, and I think it was really about that I've taken the time and the discipline,
mm-hmm,
and cleaned up my health, lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. You know, do a lot of good stuff,
mm-hmm,
you know, vitamins and, you know, the whole package, right?
Yeah, totally.
And just being consistent with it.
Because when she sees you, she sees your eyes. When she sees you, she's looking at your skin tone. She's looking at your...
Exactly.
Right? She's looking at her baby.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And she's seen the dower or the the sallow version of, you know, that she's seen for so many years,
right?
You know,
right. Well, you were on the edge at one point, buddy. You were like, could have gone either way, man. right? I mean,
oh yeah,
geez,
oh yeah,
right.
Oh, and that's the thing I hang on to today,
mm-hmm.
is that I've just dedicated it as a reality,
mm-hmm.
that the next hit is fatal.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's just, and that real or imagined, debatable or otherwise, that's what I'm going with. The next hit is fatal.
Yeah.
And I see my kids at my funeral.
Yeah.
And I see all the people, like, you know, and it's not like a funeral or a guy gets hit by a train in his car, right?
Right.
Because there's going to be a couple chuckles from the podium, right?
Yes.
Because how do you not see a train coming or hear it?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So I mean,
you had all that time to get the car off the tracks.
Thank you.
You know, and you did.
So,
and thank God you did. And that's what your mom is recognizing.
Exactly. And it's just. I think there's another message inside of that, you know, give yourself a pat on the back,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I think, I don't know if you, I'm sure you mm-hmm. experience this. We build momentum,
yeah.
and we're, you know, and it's the right kind of momentum. We're taking care of everything and we're on time and we're front and center and we're the guy people rely on. Right. And then but we're not always honoring ourselves because we don't put ourselves first, you know, especially with children. Do you have kids?
I have two teenage daughters. Yeah.
But I think it's just carving out a little bit of time for ourselves, mm-hmm. I heard a guy say years ago, he hopes that his prayer at night was that he hopes to be treated tomorrow, mm-hmm. Exactly how he treated everybody today.
Mm, that'll keep you honest, right?
Exactly. Meaning, well, if he was a dick, he's going to encounter that.
Dude, it's because, you know what? And by the way, everybody, we're talking to Charlie Sheen, and the book is The Book of Sheen, and he referred to celebrity, celebrated actor. You're celebrating your own story, which deserves to be celebrated because you're on the road to a very happy crescendo as opposed to like a tragic crash that everybody would have been mourning. So many people, because everybody had just fallen in love with you over those years of great success. And so this Book of Sheen and the program on Netflix, which is AKA Charlie Sheen, it's all a celebration and it's well deserved. But what I'm getting to though is this: what you just said, it's all about behavior. My sobriety, it's not about not drinking anymore for me. It's not about that. I mean, yes, of course, I can't drink. It's a non-starter. But it's about the behavior. My alcoholism lives in my behavior, because if I'm being lousy to my wife, who saved my life by kicking me out of the house, we were living in Sherman Oaks. We were living in Studio City when I got sober. I got sober in the Valley. And
I used to live in Sherman Oaks. I get it. I know all of that area.
That whole scene. I got sober at my meetings were at a church on Moore Park Street. And so, you know, my behavior today, 20 years into my sobriety, is what defines my sobriety. If I'm a complete jerk for an entire day, I feel like I might as well have started drinking again. So, you know, clearly you're into that notion that it's a blessing. It's about behaving right, and it's about keeping your feet under you and loving yourself and giving yourself a break, right? I mean, it's this daily dance.
Of course. Yeah, and then it's also practicing what we preach.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of my favorite expressions, because it's true, mm-hmm. is that no one is above common courtesy, right?
Beautiful.
You can't debate that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
And so did I, you know, just kind of, you know, we tend to review our day, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And did I place myself above common courtesy at any point in these last 12 hours. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I also believe in this thing called lunar brain versus solar brain, right?
Oh, that sounds so, that is so Charlie Sheen. Tell me, what is lunar brain versus solar brain? Tell me.
It's about how we think at night versus how we think during the daytime.
I love it.
And, like, I'll blow people up before I'm going to bed, and I wake up and reread it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What was I thinking?
You got to pause.
And I'm crafting an apology.
Never hit send at night, dude, right? Never hit send.
I know. That's lunar brain, man. Lunar brain is not my friend, you know? But, Lunar Brain wrote most of that freaking book. So,
well, this book, I'm telling you, everybody, you know, this book, the Book of Sheen, it's written with it's one of, you know, you said it's kind of like a co-pilot, right? Like a sidecar view into your life. You also get the sense too that you're also telling the reader, hey, look, it's okay to laugh. I'm making fun of this moment. It's okay. Believe me, there's humor in it. I lived through it, and it's okay to laugh in what I'm telling you. And the read is, it's not easy in the sense that it's like, oh, it's, you know, just nice and little words and all that. It's an easy read in the sense that it's engaging, it's funny, it's deadly truthful. You know that the reader knows that you are telling the truth because there's no other version of this that could exist. It's all real and organic. And again, you're a guy that people, I think, just inherently root for. And now that you're in a recovery and you're in a resurgence. And by the way, let's bring this conversation to a close. Let's bring it to a crescendo. How are you? I mean, compare and contrast, say, to those darker days years ago till now. Like, what are you thinking? How are you re-embracing? And what can we expect going forward from you professionally? You know, you got some irons in the fire, I would imagine. This is going to make you at least put a few meetings in your calendar book. Career-wise.
Yeah, no, it's hard. The worm is already starting to turn with that stuff, and I'm just the material that I'm starting to read again is the best stuff I've read in 20 years.
Oh, that's great.
People are looking at me because what the doc did was presented such a wonderful filmography, all the archival, the journey through all that, or all the early work, and people being reminded, oh, okay, he's not just the guy in the bowling shirt. He's not just the guy screaming winning.
Right.
He's not just the guy, you know, going in or coming out of a rehab. Mm-hmm. There was a real body of work that people really connected with. And I'm really grateful for that and proud of some of it. Right.
Right. Right. Right. And you own all of it. That's the beauty.
Yeah, I do. Because I know that's part of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at some of those interviews, especially in the doc, it's like, I don't recognize that guy. Right.
Wow.
But I know exactly who he is.
Whoa.
You know?
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't even know if that makes sense.
It does. I'm telling you right now. I came across a photo of myself and my wife at a friend's wedding about 6 weeks before I finally got sober. So we're at a wedding, right? So I'm as scrubbed up and looking as good as I'm possibly going to be. And I am bloated. I am bloodshot. I am just gross and sweaty. And and I show that to my daughters and they're like, ew, dad. And I go, I know, ew, dad. And I'm like, hey, look at me now. Look at me now. But again, it's those moments that, you don't recognize the guy, but you know, you do get it. It's like
right.
And it keeps you honest too. It keeps you honest to revisit those days.
Right. Cause that guy, that version didn't, you know, fly in from another planet, right?
Right.
He came from inside of my planet, right?
Yep.
So I think that's the stuff I got to keep close. Mm-hmm. And just touching on the thing about the next hit is fatal, right?
Yes.
The fantasy that I have about booze, right, is the first hour It's just the first hour.
Right.
The first hour is the greatest hour in the known universe, right?
Yep.
It's the next 300 hours.
Yeah.
That wind up, you know, and you've bought a one-way coach ticket to Amsterdam, right? And
yes.
And you're not just in a different area code, you're in a different country.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
With people that you don't know,
mm-hmm.
that now have your passport.
Yep.
That now have, you know what I'm saying? It's
yep.
just like, it's the next, it's post first hour,
mm-hmm.
that where things,
yep.
things get tricky.
Yes, 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 know? Yes. You can file that under, you know, one is too many and 50 is not enough.
Right.
Yeah, right. You
right.
know, and it's,
but
yeah.
all, but also in writing the book, right,
yeah.
really drilling down into all this stuff and, you know, some of it was tedious. Some of it was really fun.
Right, right.
Some of it was painful, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's also, it was a research project about, okay, what's left? All right. What could possibly be left
yeah.
in that world?
Yeah.
And there's one thing left.
Right.
The ultimate final trip.
And?
Death.
Wow, boom.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That ended on that note, but that's the yeah. only thing left. The only high left
that's
is
it.
The lowest place to go.
Indeed, indeed, and that's
right?
that's where and that is. Wow, that's profound, man. Look at this. Look at this.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You're right.
You know.
No, you're right. 100%. And again, people, look, everybody listening, you've got to grab the book, The Book of Sheen, on Netflix. The doc is called AKA Charlie Sheen. If you haven't seen it yet, all your friends are talking about both items. Everybody can get the book. They can get it at Amazon. They can get everywhere with the books, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah. And for people here in the New York metropolitan area on the in the Northeast, this coming October 19th at the Schubert Theater in New Haven, Connecticut, you can go and see Charlie in conversation, talking about his life, his career, his new book, his new documentary on Netflix. October 19th at the Schubert Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. Go to the Schubert Theater's website and get tickets now. And Charlie, man, this jumped onto my possibility list. I'm so glad that we were able to work with your people and get this conversation in the book. And
this is amazing.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, my day has peaked.
There you go.
Now what?
Right?
Now
yeah,
what?
No, yeah. Now you're screwed. Right?
What do I do? I just go back to bed? What
just,
do I do?
Just sit still. Just sit still and just bask in the glow. Just bask in the glow. That is you, my friend. Listen, really, congratulations. On everything, and you know, we're both trudging the same road to happy destiny, and so
yeah,
I can relate on that level to a lot of it. So God bless you, buddy. Hang in there, and congratulations.
No, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
Charlie Sheen,
can we make sure this is not our last conversation?
That would be great. Yeah, maybe I'll pop up in New Haven and I'll have to pretend to be happy to see me.
I wouldn't have to pretend.
Oh, there's the TJ. Great. Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
Yes. Hopefully make that happen. Maybe I get up 95 and come catch that evening.
If you could, it'd be great to meet you.
Very cool. Thank you, Charlie.
I mean, we've met, but in person.
No, of course. Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, brother. I am so proud of you, and keep on keeping on and trudge on, and we will definitely see each other in the near future. Be well, Charlie
Amazing.
Sheen.
Thank you so much. Take care.
All night long, this is Another Side of Midnight with TJ McCormack, 77 WABC.